I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike. Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Mike?
Thought today we'd talk a little bit about something that you and I haven't really done, but could end up happening in the future if things don't go 100% as planned. But getting into night hiking, or hiking after the sun sets and it's getting dark.
Yeah, so
we ran into this girl on our very first trip, and it was getting dark. Our fire was going, and we could barely, see each other. And they come wandering past, and it's like, "You guys okay?"
Right.
So,
well, and I mean, we've talked on other episodes about, like, I think it maybe was on our planning episode, or I don't know what episode, but like, realistically, my advice is don't do it, you know?
Right. Yeah. If you can avoid it at all.
Yeah. Now, I get, like, there might be, like, certain, maybe you're going out on the trail because you want to see the stars, or maybe you're wandering away from camp because you want to go down to this lake or whatever to, you know, watch a meteor shower or whatever. Or you might be wandering away from camp just because you got to use the bathroom, you know? So there is, like, you might wind up getting away from camp at night.
Right.
But realistically, yes, you and I have not done true nighttime hiking. I stick by my original statement where, like, don't do it. Like, I feel like it's, especially if you are brand new, right? Like, because the whole premise of this podcast, when you and I started this, this was like amateur hiking advice for amateur hikers.
Right.
I think if you are new and starting out, the general rule of thumb, I'm sticking with it. I'm saying don't hike at night until you get comfortable hiking during the day.
Right. Yeah, now, for sure. Like, it's a scary, like, just the whole visibility thing, like your whole line of sight and what you can and cannot see. Yes, I mean, you're taking equipment that allows you to, you know, you're taking a flashlight or a headlamp or whatever, but that doesn't illuminate 100% of your viewing area, like, type of, however, I don't know how I want to say that, but it doesn't illuminate everything.
I think it makes it, I mean, in even the stuff that it does illuminate. So, I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves with, like, what tools to take, but let's say a headlamp, right? Like, you got a headlamp on. I still think that makes it even harder than hiking during the day. You're going to get weird shadows. You're not really going to be able to have the same depth perception that you have, like, during the daytime. It is going to make it harder to hike at night. Now, I'm not so naive as to think, like, you and I can do as much planning as we want to, and there could still be a scenario where you get stuck out hiking longer than you anticipated hiking. So,
yeah.
I would say plan for the possibility of hiking after dark.
Right.
But try your damnedest not to be hiking after dark, especially when you're brand new.
You know, you could get a late start on the trail, like the day of your, you know, it's night two or day two, and you're waking up from camp, you're moving a little slow, whatever, and you get a late start. You've got 10 miles to go, and that takes you 12 hours. Let's say it's just a really slow day, whatever. And there are going to be instances where it's just unavoidable and you end up on out there at night. We try to plan accordingly so that doesn't happen, but like you said, it could. So,
well, or I mean, even you could be exhausted. Maybe you have to take more rest breaks than you anticipated. Yeah. Maybe, like you said, maybe you got a late start that day for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, you hit traffic on the way to the trail, or you're already out on the trail and you're getting a late start because you didn't set an alarm that day and wound up sleeping later than you did. Like, there are scenarios. I'm not so, you know, I get it. Like, it could happen, but to the best of your ability, try to not let it happen, especially when you're brand new. Like, if you are a seasoned hiker, you're comfortable with the trail. Maybe it's a trail you've been on before. You know it like the back of your hand at this point. You want to see it at night. You want to, like, challenge yourself in that way. Maybe it's the dead of summer and you're doing it because it's like too hot to hike during the day. Like I can see there might be scenarios where you wind up hiking at night. I just don't think for a newbie, that's the best time to do it. But again, plan for the possibility so that if the sun does go down, you've got all the tools that you need to still make it safely to camp.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess why don't we get into like some of the equipment or the necessary things that will help you if you find yourself out there after dark. And I mean, everybody, we've already talked about it, a headlamp or a flashlight. I prefer rechargeable things, so you don't have to bring extra batteries. You just bring an extra battery pack, like a recharging pack.
True.
But if you don't have a rechargeable headlamp or flashlight, bring an extra set of batteries just in case you're out there for longer than you need to. Yes, there's more weight, but it can save you.
Here's my only hot take on that. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I like rechargeable much more than I like disposable batteries.
Yeah.
However, I will give it to like bringing extra batteries for like not a rechargeable thing because you can like immediately swap and keep going.
True.
Where if you're using a rechargeable, you've got a downtime period where you need to wait for that to recharge. So
that's fair. That is fair.
I don't really know which one is better. Like for you and I, with the way we plan and the luck we've had so far, the rechargeable one works better for us because we are typically not needing it at night. We're using it for short periods of time for, you know, to go to the bathroom, to go down to the lake, to go whatever. That's so we have time like the next day to recharge it or overnight to recharge it because we're not using it for a long period of time. But if you are truly legitimately like couldn't make it to camp before sunset and need to use it to get there, I can see the benefit of using one that has a swap out battery because then you can, now you can get rechargeable swap out batteries. So maybe that's a way to go.
True. Yep. Okay.
You know, there's even USB rechargeable AA batteries and all that sort of stuff. Yep. So maybe you could do the best of both worlds. I don't know. Figure out what works well for you.
And how much weight you want to carry.
Exactly. So. Right. But I will say, like, to go back to the headlamp thing, flashlights are great and all, but let's be honest. Like, if you're out doing this for hiking and you're planning to hike at night, I'm going to suggest the headlamp over a flashlight just because you're using your hands.
Yep.
You know, you strap it on your head, you're good to go. And most headlamps will have a red light mode.
Right. Yes.
So for anybody that's not familiar with like red light, the whole thought behind red light, as far as I understand it, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, but it's like to give you enough light to navigate by, but it's not as harsh of a light so your pupils don't dilate as much.
Right. So when you turn it off, you can see.
So if you turn it off, you can see. It's not like you're not getting that like harsh reflection into your eyeball that's making your pupils freak out.
You just do the pirate thing and you wear an eye patch.
Well, you could do the pirate thing and wear an eye patch. That's another thing you could do. But it's more of like an advanced thing, in my opinion.
Right. Now you're hiking with one eye. So those are all great things. But a light source of some sorts so you can see the trail that you're on. And the biggest thing that you want to see is the trail markers, whether it's a blue blaze on the NCT or there's signage, whatever. You want to be able to keep an eye out for where you got to turn or what way the path is going. And you also want to be able to find the ground. So, you know, is it going to start going downhill, uphill? Is there a tree rut? Anything like that that's going to be sticking up that you need to actually step over, anything like that, any obstacles. So, that's the reason for that. Another thing that I have on mine, not to jump ahead and move on too quickly. Did you have anything else or did you want to have something?
I mean, just for gear, the only other thing that I have under gear, like to help you prepare is I have, I don't know what you actually, the glow in the dark sticks. What are those called? Like
glow sticks or marker lights.
Glow stick or whatever. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, you and I take glow sticks as a
nightlight type of a thing.
As a nightlight type of thing, or as like a backup for camp. I can also see that coming in as useful
if you wind up.
Yeah, well, or even like, I mean, it does throw off enough light. I think you could probably navigate with that.
So, yeah, if your batteries died or you did have a rechargeable headlamp and that died, you could use that as a backup option. Yep. Yep.
I don't think it's a great one, but they do glow for a long time. Like, it's not going to be as good as a headlamp or as good as a flashlight, but if you are using it in what I, maybe it's not truly an emergency, but what I'm going to call an emergency situation, or maybe you might even wind up saying like, okay, I'm clearly not going to make it to wherever I was planning to camp tonight, but I need to set up camp here where I'm at, just in the middle of the trail. At least if you had a glow stick that could like illuminate your immediate surroundings, that would give you some light to set up camp by or possibly cook by.
Well, and that can also alert anybody that's coming down the trail as well that there is somebody there and that, you know, they're not just coming up on somebody with all of a sudden with a bright flashlight or whatever.
Right.
And they're surprised. So, yeah, I did have that on my list as well. From my research, most of the time it recommends using it as a marker for clipping on your pack so you can identify groups. If you get separated a little bit, they're a little bit farther ahead, you know where they're at and you can see
that. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
So,
yeah, because you should be able to see that from a little ways away. It's not like super harsh light, so it's not going to affect your ability to see if you're like just trying to follow somebody with one of those on it. I think it's one of those things where they are usually lightweight enough, throw one in your backpack. Like multi-use type of thing.
You and I take one every trip just in case.
We take one every time just in case.
Yep.
Takes up no space. They last for a long time. Both like once you crack them, they do a lot of light, but then also like it, if you don't use it, it's not like, you know, it's got an expiration date of like 2 weeks from now.
Right.
It's an easy thing to just throw in your pack.
Right.
But even, okay, so then even with that, let's say you've got your glow stick, you should still be able to, like, again, they are not super bright, right? Like, they're not going to, like, it's not a searchlight or a spotlight or whatever, but even with a glow stick, you're going to be able to look at your map, you're going to be able to look at your compass, you're going to be able to look at your GPS with it. Like, it is giving enough light to look at your essential things.
Yeah.
I think it's worth throwing in your pack. I mean, on every trip, always take one.
Well, the other thing that I like that I take, because my headlamp isn't always necessarily readily available. I probably should put it in one of my top pockets or top pouches so it's more easily accessible. Yeah. But I always have my lantern, my solar rechargeable lantern that's dangling off of that. And that is collapsible, so it throws the light whichever, you know, however collapse down you have it. It's got different light modes on it, so that's always a backup option too, or can be used as one of those markers on the back of my pack too, so you'd be able to see me.
Yeah, so that's an option too. And that little lantern that Mike has, we have a link to that right on our website. Like, that truly is like a great thing. It's got a little solar panel on it to somewhat recharge the battery during the day, so you don't have to worry about taking extra batteries and all the things. Like, that is, especially if you are unexpectedly at night, great thing to have. Super good idea.
Yep. So the other thing that I have on my list of things that you want to take in case you're out at after dark is like reflective clothing or reflective gear. So if you don't have one of those lights on you, if somebody's shining a flashlight looking for you, that reflectiveness will end up shining and make you more visible to them.
Yeah, so for sure. I think that's a great idea. Like, definitely, especially if you think there's a possibility that you'll be out after dark.
Yeah.
This is the day to wear your bright colored clothing. Mm-hmm. This is the day. Like, if you've got reflective stuff, clip that to the outside of you. This is not the day to wear your camo, right? or like your jet black clothing. This is the day if you got a late start or you're taking more breaks than you thought you were gonna, and you're like getting close to sunset, this is the time to get on that like bright colored gear. Especially if you're a solo hiker, that's maybe its own thing. But like Mike and I have talked in the past about like safety and numbers and all that sort of stuff. if the sun's going to go down, put your bright colored clothing on so that you can at least keep in contact with each other in the event that, you know, one person goes around a bend and maybe the other person didn't see that bend, help you find each other a lot better.
Absolutely. The other stuff that I have on my list, I don't know what else you have on yours for the gear to take, but I mean, everything else is pretty much gear that you're going to be taking anyway, or you should be, that we mentioned in our gear episode. So I'll just kind of gloss over them, like a map and compass or a GPS, like know how to get to where you're going, an emergency whistle. And this one does say layered clothing if you're going to be getting in there out there at night, depending on the climate you're in. Like if you're out west and it's like 100 degrees during the day, but it drops to like 60 at night.
Yeah.
You want different layers of clothing for that. So take that kind of stuff. Here in Michigan where we're going, if it gets up to 80 during the day, depending on the time of year, but when you and I typically go, it's going to get to like the mid 60s at night. Like it's not as drastic of a change, but just, I mean, that's another part of your planning though, is make sure you know what the weather and temperature is going to be so you can pack accordingly. So,
well, and I didn't think about the whistle. I mean, the whistle is a good thing to, it's a good thing to have readily regardless, available at all times of your hike. But yeah, that's a good point to make. Like if you're not normally wearing your whistle around your neck, maybe if you're going out at night or it's starting to get dark, maybe get that whistle out and put it around.
Nighttime is definitely the time to do it. So
I hadn't thought of that, but then, and then this isn't necessarily gear related, but kind of one of the things that you said made me think of it. If some of this stuff is not usually in your most readily accessible spot in your pack,
right?
Maybe plan ahead and get it in like the most user-friendly, quickly accessible part of your pack. That's a good...
Rethink the way you pack, especially for that day if that risk is coming. If it's getting dark and you know you've got 4 miles to go, stop, take a break, reassess, move things around in your pack and real quick, get them where you're going to need them or get them out and prepare for dark right then and there. Don't wait till it's dark to do it. Wait, like get it prepared as you see, like, oh, shit, I'm running out of time.
I mean, realistically, even if it is starting to get dark and you're like, oh, I'm sure I'll make it to camp. I'm sure it's right up around this bend. Like, I'm almost there. I don't need to prepare. Like, you know, you could do your best preparing, but sometimes your mileage is off. Like, if it is starting to get dark and you think you can make it, plan for not making it. I mean,
and it's only happened to you and I like once or twice where the mileage expectation was shorter than what we planned. Right. It's usually a half to a mile further.
Right.
So,
right. I mean, you can plan to the best of your ability. Once in a while, your mileage is going to be off, or the campsite isn't exactly where they thought it was going to be on the map or whatever. But yes, I mean, get your stuff ready, prepare to be out at night, and then worst case scenario, you wasted 5 minutes putting stuff where it was readily accessible. But then you get to camp, you're still going to have to set up at camp. You're probably going to need that headlamp or your glow stick or all that stuff anyway. Now it's readily accessible right on the top of your pack when you get there.
Right. Yep, absolutely. That's all I have as far as equipment. I've got some benefits of hiking after dark that I looked up.
Okay.
And how to do it safely a little bit. So do you have any other equipment before we move on to this?
No.
Okay.
I'm curious what you've got to say about this, and I might have commentary with it, but.
Right. So I'll just kind of go a little bit quickly because, like I said, there are benefits, but these are things, in my opinion, that you can do by getting to camp during the day and going for a less weight out and back to go a mile or whatever, like stargazing. You know, you don't want to be out there, anything like that, with your full pack and you still got to set up tent and all that. But, or if it's just an out and back and you're a quote unquote day hike, but you're purposely doing it at night so you have a better night sky, then that's another thing. Like, so there is a benefit to that. I mentioned the cooler temperatures if you're out west or in a hotter climate, anything like that. Once the sun goes down, we know that the temperatures drop as well.
Yep.
If you don't like people and you're in an area where you've got crowded trails, usually at night you're going to have fewer people on the trails, so there's a benefit there. You can get a different perspective of if you're really familiar with a trail, hiking it at night can create a different perspective on, you know, things you see. Animals are going to be different. You get the nocturnal animals that come out, and the daytime animals go to bed, things like that. That's pretty much the benefits. Like I said, I think 90% of those are more of a hiking and not a backpacking thing.
True. Yeah.
So, but that is, those were just some of the things I found. And I'm like, well, a lot of these we would do after we got to camp.
Right. You know? That's the thing. And to go back to like originally, most of the advice that you and I give on this podcast are for beginners.
Beginners, or new-ish
people.
Yeah.
The wanting some solitude, the get a different perspective, to me that is a more advanced thing. Like you are doing more experienced,
For sure.
Once you are comfortable being a hiker or backpacker and you want to start exploring those additional things or some of those different perspectives, I'm not saying never do it. I'm just saying like a new person, like I would not plan my first trip ever to be a night hike.
Right. And then, I don't even know like that I want to plan a night hike per se. I mean, maybe a hike, but not a backpacking trip.
Coming from the guy that wants to do winter backpacking, you're saying you wouldn't do it at night?
I mean, I would plan on being out, especially with snow and everything on the ground, a little bit harder to move around. I think I would want to do that during the day. We do have shorter days in the winter, so you have to plan a little bit differently, but I would try to do it during the day. But yeah, I would say, like to do winter camping or backpacking. Yeah,
okay, that's a different episode. But but I will say, like, the nighttime, like, wanting to go look at the stars, like, you and I did that up at Pictured Rocks. We left our campsite and walked down to the lake to look at the stars down there. We left our camp one night because we wanted to go down to the shore of Lake Superior to look for eupatorites. Like, you and I have done that.
Right.
But even with that, it was the way you and I did it was we got to camp. While it was still daylight, we took the path that we needed to take down to the lake so that we could familiarize ourselves with that route.
Yeah.
Came back. And then once nighttime got there, then we went and redid it with headlamps. But we already kind of knew where we were going.
Yep.
And we knew it was only, you know, a 10-minute walk down to the lake and a 10-minute walk back. So we knew our headlamps were going to last that long. So, again, we planned to be doing that, had the supplies that we needed. It wasn't all just like willy-nilly and get out there and hope for the best. Like, I mean, it's definitely it is more dangerous to do. And it is harder to do.
Oh, for sure.
Try to plan ahead for it. Try to not get caught out there unexpectedly doing it.
Right. It's like you said, when you're brand new, it's not like you're going to have experience on that. Even if you have a little bit of experience on your belt, and most people try to do different sections of the trail or different trails in general. So if you're newer, you don't know the trail like the back of your hand. So it's more dangerous to be going when you don't know the terrain and you don't know where the bends and the turns and all this kind of stuff are. So,
well, and even one of the other things that you touched on, like one of the, what you're going to call a benefit, I'm going to call one of the dangers. So like you had mentioned, like one of the cool, quote unquote, cool things or whatever that you could see is, okay, you get to see different wildlife at night.
Well,
Well, some of them are predators. I'm going to count that as one of the dangers. So, like you're,
Well, then
your bears are going to be moving around at night
as well.
Well, I mean, because you're going to have your coyotes are night animals. Your bears are night animals. Yeah. I mean, there's just some of the nighttime creatures that are out and about. You maybe don't want to come across at night, realistically.
Yeah.
So as much as you and I have said, like on other episodes where, you know, be respectful of other people when you're out on the trail and try not to make too much noise and all this and that and the other. Well, if you do unexpectedly find yourself out at night and you hadn't planned on being out there at night.
Right.
this might be a time to make a little bit more noise than usual so that you are not sneaking up on some of these nighttime animals and startling them or letting them startle you.
Well, in that case, too, if you do disturb somebody that's out there and you are not necessarily lost, but you are in the backcountry at night, you can't see shit. If you stumble upon somebody, then, okay, you're either A, you're on the right track, and this is a campsite that you know is on the map.
Hopefully.
Or B, they might be nice enough to say, just pitch your tent right here and figure it out in the morning, like, type of a thing. So, so yeah, that there's, if you stumble upon somebody and, like, if they want to act all pissed off and all that stuff at first, just let them know, like, hey, look, I didn't plan on being out here this late. I didn't mean to startle you.
I can't imagine. So. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that would get pissed off if you came stumbling through their camp at night accidentally.
Right.
Going back to like what we've said in other episodes, though, like the community that you and I have come across, at least, there ain't nobody that's going to be. I can't say there's nobody because we know
that. If somebody woke me up and they were lost or hiking at night and they just needed to, they wanted to make sure they're on the right path or whatever, I would definitely do everything I could to help them.
For sure.
Get either keep going. If they wanted to keep going, just make sure the this is campsite, whatever. And where you're going, yeah, we know the map too. You should be like three sites down or you should be, it's another quarter mile or whatever.
Right. Which way are you coming from? Where are you going? What are you trying to find?
If they'd rather not keep going, if they'd rather not keep going, then just be like, yeah, there's a spot. Just go set your tent up over there. So, to go on, piggyback off of that, another thing that I had on my cool things or benefits of hiking at night is also a risk is that when the sun goes down, the temperatures drop. So therefore, you can be at risk of hypothermia or things like that, depending on the climate. Like in the springtime here in Michigan, it'll get up to 75, almost 80 degrees, and then it drops to like the low 50s or high 40s at night. Like that's a pretty big change, and you risk hypothermia in those temperatures. So
true,
Especially if you got wet, sweaty clothes on. So those are risk factors to think about as well. So
Well, and that goes back to like your layers thing too, right? Like have your, you know, having, if you've been sweating all day and the temperatures are starting to drop, maybe swap out what clothes you're wearing if you have a change of clothes or put on that extra layer or whatever you need to do. Cause temperature swing is a real thing. Like you could be
absolutely,
you know, sweating your butt off during the day and then it gets damn cold at night, like downright cold. And if you're in wet clothes, that's a real thing. Or even if you're not in wet clothes and you just need an extra layer on, like it's, that is a real thing, that temperature swing. So yeah, maybe the flip side to that, like you're saying is, you know, if it's 105 degrees during the day and you just can't move during the day cause it's too hot, maybe wait until dark cause you think that's a better option.
Right.
But then you've got all these other things to be concerned about. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for it. Like it's, you know,
That's the thing is like, if you're in a climate where you can hike during the day, like you said, if it's 105 or 112 degrees outside, there's no sense in risking all the dehydration and heat stroke and all that kind of crap. If you can do it at night, but those types of climates, you're going to end up with scorpions and snakes and like all this other shit that comes out at night that,
for sure.
You know, so, I guess this is our do your own research for where you're hiking and like when you're planning it, make sure you know what the temperatures and the weather is going to be and plan accordingly. If you want to hike at night, make sure you do your extra prep work.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much all I have, except for on my notes, I now have the know your limits portion of it. Like know when to just call it quits if you're hiking at night and you can't go keep going. Like,
so. Okay, well let's talk about that for a minute. Cause that might lead into another section that I have. Talk more about that. Know your limits. I mean, and I do kind of have experience with this one. So,
Well, the know your limits, especially at night, if your visibility is too low, even with a flashlight or something, if it's foggy or something and you just cannot keep, moving because you can't see, then there's nothing in the rules that states you can't set up camp where you're at. Try to have as minimal impact there are rules. Let me just say this, but you're not going to get in trouble if somebody were to be out there, like we said in the other episode. If somebody finds you,
I was just going to say that.
Uh-oh, you're rescued.
Like, oh no, worst case scenario, the DNR shows up. Right. It's like, okay, I'm saved. I mean, when you and I did it, I was nervous when you and I did that.
Yeah. So that's the thing is like, so you can be nervous about that, but if somebody catches you, and I'm using air quotes on that, then you either A, explain your situation, and they're like, all right, yeah, just do it, be safe or whatever, or they escort you to where it's safe or something. So not the end of the world there. If you're feeling uncomfortable, if you're just not sure if you're headed in the right direction, anything like that, and if you feel lost, you can only do worse by getting yourself more lost.
True. 100%.
So stop, set up camp, wait for daylight.
Well, you and I talked about, like, I think it was our first trip that we took up in the Porkies, where we would get to spots during the daytime when you could see really well, where it's like, man, I haven't seen a blaze in a while.
Right.
Or there's this, like, is this a fork in the trail or is this not a fork in the trail? And that's during the daytime when you can see everything that you could possibly see. At nighttime, imagine how much worse that is. So, yes, if you get to a point where you're like, man, I haven't seen a blaze in a while. I'm not entirely sure I'm on the path. I can't really tell what's going on. There is no shame in stopping and calling it a day. Like,
absolutely.
Set your tent up or set your hammock up or just like hunker down to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm.
There is no point in getting more lost, especially at night. Like, I mean, because it's so, I mean, it just goes all back to it's so hard to see, right? Like, depending on where you're at, are there possible like steep ridges? Are there possible things you could fall into or trip over or miss a turn? Or if it gets to the point where you feel uncomfortable, you're not sure where you're at, stop.
Exactly.
Is it against the rules? Probably. Are we gonna give you a pass? 100%.
Absolutely.
Like, it's like there is nobody wants you to get hurt because you're all the rules are there because they're important, right? So I don't want to say it's an unimportant rule, but like,
right.
Don't go get lost. Don't go get yourself hurt. Don't get yourself into a situation where you're making it worse because you're afraid to get in trouble. Like, I would rather you got in trouble and were safe than you went out and got like badly injured or
worse.
The part of hiking that we don't like to talk about is like people die. Like you could die. And I hate saying that because it sounds awful and I'm not trying to be like alarmist about anything, but you could. And things are that much more dangerous.
You walk on the edges of cliffs at time, like pictured rocks and in the Porkies, like you've got a 100-foot drop right to the set next to you. And there's no handrail. There's nothing. Like
picture rocks was like that. We did our one over. Was it Fife Lake that we hiked to the one time?
Spring Lake. You always say Fife Lake, but
Spring Lake. Spring Lake. But that one. Okay, that trail even.
Yeah.
Followed a river.
Yep.
And if you took one step too far in the wrong direction, now was it a sheer drop off? No, it wasn't. But if you got your pack and stuff on and you slip and tumble down this hill, you could break an arm or break a leg or break a hip or break your back or break your neck, or like that could happen.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen Chris Farley tumbling down a hill in Black Sheep. So
100%.
We don't want that to be any of you.
So yeah. I mean, like Mike is saying, if you're getting, I mean, it's all kind of uncomfortable, but if you're like getting nervous about like, where am I making it worse? If you think you're making it worse, you're making it worse. Just stop. Stop and set up camp to the best of your ability. Figure it out in the daytime.
Right. The only other one, know when to stop is if the weather changes unexpectedly.
Oh, for sure.
Anything like that. And you know you've still got a couple miles to go or whatever, and it, now it's just a torrential downpour or anything like that, try to get out of it, get underneath a tree or something, make yourself safe, set up camp if you can, all that kind of stuff. But don't keep moving now that visibility is even less, just because extra weather came through, whether it's fog, wind, rain, snow.
Mike and I found ourselves in an unexpected hailstorm out on the trail one time.
Yeah.
It was summer, and we found ourselves in an unexpected hailstorm.
Wasn't even forecasted.
and you and I stopped and hunkered underneath a tree for a bit. Not entirely sure that's the best thing to do, because it was like pretty wicked, but what are you gonna do?
Right.
Like, it was like large marble sized hail coming down. Mm-hmm. You and I didn't have helmets to put on. So it's like, I don't know what to do. We're going to get underneath this tree. Now, it passed really quick, but, you know, had that lasted for an extended period of time, that goes back to, is it pushing your timeline back? Did you have to stop for a period of time you didn't plan for? You and I in that situation were fine. We wound up back to camp in plenty of time.
Right.
But things like that do happen unexpectedly. Then adjust your time. So again, be prepared for nighttime, but don't plan for it.
Yeah, especially that thing can happen on multiple day trips when you're out in the backcountry and don't have any cell signal. You can look up the weather, but we all know that it's not 100% guarantee the weather forecast, anything like that. So those things can happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So that's all I've got on my notes and for my research. So,
I just had a couple of things. I'm just going to hit them like lightning quick, because they didn't really fit into like one of the categories that we were talking about. I just want to remind everybody again, before you set out, always a good time to let people know what your plan is.
Yep. Absolutely.
So again, because you don't have to listen to all of our episodes. So like, if this is the only episode you ever listen to, Mike and I thoroughly suggest that you let somebody know where you plan to be and how far you think you'll get every day, in the event that at the end you don't show up where you should be. At least somebody knows what the idea was and where you should have been at each segment during your hiking or backpacking trip. So yeah. I still think that applies even with this episode, and just for a safety thing,
absolutely,
please let somebody know where you're going to be. I had a couple of things regarding, like, if you do find yourself out at night, how to try to be as safe as you can while using your headlamp, your flashlight, your red light thing, your glow stick. One, slow down.
Yeah.
Go slower than you would during the daytime.
It's a big suggestion there.
If you think you can see as good as you could, like you got your headlight on, you're good, you're confident, you feel like you know where you're going, please slow down. I'm telling you, you cannot see as well as you thought you could during the day. Especially if you are new, I don't need you rolling an ankle or injuring your knee while you're out there because you were overly confident. Be mindful to slow down and walk slower at night. For one, it's going to help you, like, if you step weird on a tree root or you roll your ankle a little bit by going slower, hopefully it's not as bad. It's also going to help you by going slower. It's going to give you more opportunity to see any of those trail markers that you otherwise may have missed. So, yeah. You're not going to be able to see those trail markers as far away as you could during the day. So going slower is going to help give you that time to see those ones at night. The other thing, if you are with a group, and fingers crossed you are, because we always recommend that you hike with a group just because there is the ability to help each other and get yourselves out of situations and things like that. But if you got multiple people with headlamps on, hopefully you are using the red light mode. But if you are not, try to avoid looking directly into the light. That should be self-explanatory, but it really does screw up your ability to see by looking into a bright light when you're amongst the darkness. So
bright and shiny, though.
You know, point your headlight towards the ground. Don't be pointing it way out in front of you into other people's eyes.
Yeah.
point it more down towards the ground if you have a headlight that is adjustable and you can do...
I think that one's aimed more at me, guys.
Slightly at Mike, but, you know, just a good general rule, try to point it down further. I'm not saying, like, straight down, because yeah. you do want to be able to see in front of you, too, but,
yep.
you know, try not to blind each other while you're out there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that is pretty much the end of my list. If I can go back to the beginning of the episode and just say once again,
don't
do it unless you have to.
Right.
Until you get more experience. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's the best rule to live by is try not to do it. But if you find yourself, hopefully this episode was helpful and gave you some tips on how to navigate the nighttime if you need to.
I concur.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody has any other thoughts or suggestions about how to hike while it's dark out, or you have found something to be super useful for hiking at night, you can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on our website, which is seanmikehike.com, or on most of the major socials at seanmikehike. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time,
go take a hike during the day.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time. See ya.